You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Reminding you, you can email us whatever you want. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Well, we'll get back to all the other stuff about remote work and a Democrat. Well, they love to kill kids, and we'll talk about that. And why Iwo Jima, the battle of it was evil, according to these people. Oh, yeah, there's so much good stuff today. But before we get to any of that filth, you know what time it is, man. It's Monday. That means it's Medal of Honor Monday time. Every single Monday at this time, we take a Medal of Honor citation and we read it. An American hero whose name and deeds deserve to be remembered. We read it. Sometimes we talk a little bit about the backstory of it. But more than anything, this is honestly for the kids. This is a small way to try to change our culture. Culture is just what you incentivize versus what you disincentivize. That's all culture is. And the endless filth out there now, it seems endless because we incentivize filth and we don't incentivize this stuff anymore. And remember, on top of your love, hate, and death threats, you can send in suggestions if you would like a Medal of Honor citation read, especially if there's some personal connection. This one, Edgar Harold Lloyd, World War II, my grandmother's first cousin. Somebody sent this in, and he was in the U.S. Army. This was a World War II one, as you just read, and, well, here it is.
Ready, aim.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, on the 14th of September 1944, Company E, 319th Infantry, with which 1st Lieutenant Lloyd was serving as a rifle platoon leader, was assigned the mission of expelling an estimated force of 200 men from a heavily fortified position near Pompey, France. As the attack progressed, 1st Lieutenant Lloyd's platoon advanced to within 50 yards of the enemy position, where they were caught in a withering machine gun and rifle crossfire, which inflicted heavy casualties and momentarily disorganized the platoon. With complete disregard for his own safety, 1st Lieutenant Lloyd leaped to his feet and led his men on a run into the raking fire, shouting encouragement to them. He jumped into the first enemy machine gun position, knocked out the gunner with his fist, dropped the grenade, and jumped out before it exploded. Still shouting encouragement, he went from one machine gun nest to another, pinning the enemy down with submachine gun fire until he was within throwing distance, and then destroyed them with hand grenades. He personally destroyed 5 machine guns and many of the enemy, and by his daring leadership and conspicuous bravery inspired his men to overrun the enemy positions and accomplish the objective in the face of seemingly insurmountable odds. His audacious determination and courageous devotion to duty exemplify the highest traditions of military force in the United States. And it adds as an addendum in there, KIA, 32 days later in France, age 22 years old, accomplished something I'll never accomplish, that's for sure, something incredible. And then because real life is not a movie, I don't have to explain it to you. Life is hard and it comes with ups and downs and it's imperfect. You didn't get to come home to some dime waiting for him on the docks, carry her off into the sunset, get married, make a bunch of babies with her. 30 days later, he died doing the same thing. And Taps, probably more than appropriate. Rest in peace, warrior. Pretty amazing stuff, right? So, you know what? Couple things before we get back to the news. Chris, I said you were going to freak out when I told you about the thermals. So again, in case you're just now joining us, I was gone last week because I went with my sons and my parents and my sister to the big Safari Club convention. They had one in Nashville, all these hunts and boots and hats and coats and guns and optics and all kinds of things are for sale in this big expo. It's heaven for me. It's just basically heaven. Now, I have a confession to make to you. This will be hard, but I'm going to get this out. You ready? I don't have NVGs. I don't own any night vision goggles. I want to own night vision goggles. I do. I want to own a great set of night vision goggles. They're so expensive that I've never been able to bring myself to spend the money. So this time, this trip, I actually told the wife on the way in, I said, you just better buck up. I'm going to buy some stuff I don't need in here. Just get ready. I'm doing it. And you know what she did? Disrespectful. Rolled her eyes and said, no, you won't. And I said, yes, I will. You just watch. She said, no, you won't. So I go over to, I told you they have all kinds of fancy optics there. And I actually told to my dad, I said, I'm going to buy them, Dad. I'm going to do it. And he was encouraging. He said, yeah, go ahead. I don't care. It's fine. And I go look at the NVGs, and they were a lot of money. But then I was kind of close to getting them. I don't want to say I had the credit card out. But the guy said, but have you seen the thermals yet? Now, you know what thermals obviously are. Everyone knows what thermals are. You look through the scope and human beings, anything hot glows. It's really, really cool. That's straight out of the movies. Have you seen thermals yet? And so I'm in this mood. All my blood's up. I'm all worked up about it. Yeah, no, I've seen them. Show me your thermals. Guy takes me over and shows me this thermal scope that'll go on my AR. And it wasn't on an AR. They had it off the AR. So you could take it and turn it on and look around. And you're looking at everybody and they're glowing. And you're, oh my gosh, I'm a commando. And I set it down. And at this point in time, I'm ready. I'm going to do it. And I said to him, nice. No, I really, really like these. How much are they? Guess how much they were, Chris. Guess how much? 1.5 what? 1.5 thousand? Try again, Chris. Oh, up. 2? Nope. Keep going. Not three either. Keep going. $7,000 out the door. So here I am. I was so excited, and I wanted him so bad. And then he tells me, yeah, that'll be $7,000 out the door. And now I'm at this moment where my heart has actually been... Have you ever seen Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom when the guy takes his hand and he sticks it in the other guy's chest and he rips out his heart? Well, that's what has just happened to me at this moment in the Safari Club. My heart has actually been removed from my chest because I know there's not a snowball's chance in you know where that I'm paying $7,000 for anything. I wouldn't pay $7,000 for a car in this economy, let alone thermals. I want them, but I'm not doing it. So I now have to set it down, and I have to come up with some kind of a reason that I need to walk away without looking like I'm Chris. No one would be surprised if Jewish producer Chris walked away. I, however, have a reputation to uphold. So I say to the guy, you know, I do. I really like these. And that's a good price. I even said that, Chris. That's a good price. But I've been looking at these other ones over there. Let me go back and look at them one more time. And then I'll come back. And I never went back. I walked away and never went back. And now I still, not only do I not own NVGs, I don't own thermals. And I'm never going to own anything ever. It sucks. I want them, though. One day, Chris. One day. One day. I'm going to keep playing the Powerball. It's going to come up my way. All right. Let's talk about, well, a Democrat school board member. You hear me say school board, right? Talking about the Battle of Iwo Jima being evil. And we have to address remote work. I'll do that first because I promised you I'd do that last hour. That was before I got distracted. And before we do any of that, we're going to address your house. And why it might be in someone else's name right now. Do you know that? You know that you wouldn't know, right? Home title thieves, you see your home titles online. It's not in a bank vault. It's online. It's in the cloud. These professional thieves, they hack into them. They forge your signature on them. They go take loans out against them. When these lending institutions are giving out these loans, they think they're loaning it to you. But you're not aware, and you're going to lose your home. They will evict you from your home for these loans. Or you could go get home title lock to stop it. I would recommend that option a little bit better than the first. HomeTitleLock.com/Jesse. HomeTitleLock.com/Jesse. Protect your home, huh? All right, remote work. Hang on.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, by the way, if you missed any part of the show, you can catch the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. On iTunes, leave a 5-star rating and a review talking about how handsome I am, because that makes me laugh. Chris mentioned during the break, speaking of my NVGs that I don't own and thermals that I don't own, Chris mentioned that you can get some NVGs cheaper if you get the ones that don't use power and whatnot. Well, here's the problem. Have you ever heard of the phrase, Chris, champagne taste on a beer budget? You ever heard of that phrase? Well, I can't believe you've never heard of that phrase because that's actually your entire life story. There was this, so we had MBGs in the Marines, right? But remember, the Marines are the redheaded stepchild of the military. Look at the Marine Corps. I know it's a little bit by choice, but look at the Marine Corps budget compared to everyone else. Marine Corps equipment is garbage. They actually pride themselves on doing more with less. Garbage guns, garbage equipment, that we'll take the Army's hand-me-downs and fix it up and use it for a long time. They pride themselves on it, right? Pride ourselves on it. I bring this up to bring this up to you. We had MBGs when we were in Iraq. We get clear to Baghdad, and my particular unit, I won't go into the details of it, we got sent away to go provide security for some Green Berets in Baghdad, and we were doing night patrols in Baghdad all the time. So we had these NVGs, night vision goggles, and I thought they were fine. I thought they were really cool. It certainly was better than not seeing at night. And we would go out on patrol with Green Berets. And I remember I'm on this patrol with this Green Beret, And I've got my crappy MVGs up, and we're looking around, make sure we're not going to get killed. And he has a very different set of MVGs. And I, of course, looked at them, and they looked really cool. And I said, hey, can I see those? And the Green Berets are always so cool. He's like, yeah, check them out. I took his and put them on my face, and I never wanted to touch mine again. His were so clear and so perfect. And that is the problem. Once you look through the good ones, you don't want to go back to the bad ones. So I don't want a set of MVGs or a set of thermals. I want a good set of MVGs or thermals, but I don't want to spend $7,000 on it. I won't do it. I won't do it. The wife is still driving a 2014. I refuse to do it. What, Chris? I know. That's not that old. I don't know. I don't know what her problem is. You know what she should do? Maybe she should work remote. Not, what, Chris? Hold on. No, there's a, all right, here's the story. I promised it last hour. The story is, how much is remote work worth? New York City's about to find out. New York City's going to implement this, or in part, they're going to implement this for their city employees. Let's not focus on that right now. Let's focus on this. Remote work. Because I had a conversation with a guy actually in Nashville. I told you I had to meet with the suits. Had a conversation with some of the suits about this weekend. I had this theory, and they backed up my theory, I should know, but I have this theory that COVID irreparably harmed the entire world's economy. And this is what I mean. I'm not just talking about the inflation and the recession we're about to go in, and I'm not just talking about those things. I'm talking a permanent harm on the world's economy. And this is what I'm talking about. I've told you before, and really what I'm doing right now, I'm talking to young people. I need you to hear me. If your work gives you the option to stay home, go in anyway. Let your boss see you there. Let your boss see you sitting at that desk. I know Zoom is wonderful. I had a Zoom call today. I get it. I know you want to do the Skype interview. I know. And I know there's great benefit to that. If you're an up-and-comer and you're ambitious, let your boss see you every minute of the day. Not on the 15-minute Zoom call, every minute of the day. Show him you care enough to put on your khakis and get your big boy pants into work. Let him see you on a Friday when he's thinking about knocking off early and wants to have a beer with somebody. Hey, Bob, beer time? We've had a good week. Let that be you. You know who doesn't get that invite? The guy who wanted to stay home. Well, he said we could work remote. Be in the office, young people. In the office. Plus, there's no substitute, none, for a human interaction. And this is me, antisocial Jesse. I need human interaction. You need human interaction. Now, having said that, I get pushback from some people. I get pushback from some friends of mine, family members who work remote. And they told me this. They said, Jesse, you don't understand. In this economy now, when some employers are giving the option of working remote and other employers are not giving that option, employees, they have choices and they're going to pick the employer who gives them the option. Thus, forcing employers to present that option to their employees, or you lose the good employees. You need, remember, and it's, as an employer, no matter what, you're only as good as the talent you fill up your company with. That's just the way it is. You're only as good as the talent you fill up your company with. So if I'm not offering a remote option, but Chris is with his competing company, and we're both competing for Michael, not that we would ever compete for Michael, but if we're both competing for Michael, Michael's going to want to go work for Chris. Chris gave him the option. Now my company's worse because we missed out on Michael, who's currently actually eating cheese sticks while I'm talking about this. I'm not even making that up. He's eating cheese. You see what I mean? This is what I work with here. Now, I actually ran out of time to finish making my point, but I will explain why this has irreversibly hurt the entire planet in just a moment. Before I do that, let's do a quick self-defense thing here. I do not need to explain to you that violent crime is going up. I don't need to do any of those scare tactics. You see the news, you see the videos. You are well aware that there is a mental health crisis, a drug crisis, a crime crisis, much of this self-inflicted going on in this country. You know all that. What you need to ask yourself is, can you stop a bad person from hurting you right now? I don't mean, well, give me time to get home and get my stuff. No, right now. Can you stop a bad person from hurting you? If the answer to that question is no, why don't you have a hero gun or a hero arrow? Why doesn't your wife? Why doesn't your daughter? Now, non-lethal. Carry it on you. Protect yourself. Hero2020.com, code Jesse for a special discount. Hero2020.com.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
The word on the street then was, he's too country for pop. But then once I got to country, it was, he's too pop for country. So I kind of never really had a place to fit in, but that's exactly how and why I fit. I just embraced that. Like, yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, why are you asking me about girly drinks? What's the girliest drink? What is there something I should know? Are you guys playing a prank on me? Is there about to be a prank played on me? Oh, your dad. Chris, that's not right. You're doing that to your own father? Oh, that's not right. I can't. Maybe I'm not the one qualified to explain what a girly drink is or isn't, because I have been unfairly accused by the wife of liking girly drinks because I like to drink screwdrivers. Well, I shouldn't say I like to drink them. It's been months since I've had one, but who doesn't like screwdrivers? Chris, do you like screwdrivers? Michael, screwdrivers? Orange juice and vodka? How's that a girly drink? Oh, and she makes a big deal out of it. I can't admit that on the air. Never mind. All right, here it is. I'm just going to say it. I prefer margaritas frozen. All right. I like the margaritas frozen instead of on the rocks. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. But yet there are feminine accusations coming my way. You know, last time I ordered a margarita frozen, she actually scoffed at me and said, I see that Chalk Male Vitality stack is really paying off. I'm not even making that up. What a terrible... You know what? She doesn't realize that I've been taking Chalk for so long that I could be sitting there drinking Cosmopolitans by the dozen, and it would probably only increase my testosterone levels at this point in time. Thanks to Chalk's Male Vitality stack, I just got blood work done, and I actually don't have any blood left. It's just pure testosterone flowing through. No, that's not true at all. But seriously, fellas, natural herbal supplements. Take care of yourself. Ladies, you dragging butt in the afternoon? Tired of work, tired of chasing the kids around, you get exhausted. You know what it's like to not feel like that anymore? Go to Chalk.com. Look at all their endless natural herbal supplements. They have way more than just that. That's what I take is the Male Vitality stack. So that's what I tell you about. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse gets you 35% off the subscriptions. All right? CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. If you have that, you can have as many screwdrivers or frozen margs as you want, and you don't have to worry about this. No, I quit. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. All right, back to my final point on the remote work thing before we get to this Democrat who says Iwo Jima is evil. My point with work, remote work, irreparably harming the world is this. There's no going back. Because now so many employees are working from home, want to work remotely. So many employers are giving them the option so they can keep the best talent. It doesn't actually give the employers the chance to tell people, nope, you're coming into work. So what does that mean? Well, picture this. What if me, Chris, Michael, what if we weren't in the same studio every single day? You know, just joking, talking about stupid stuff on the air, off the air, watching Michael eat cheese sticks while we're supposed to be working. What if we weren't doing this while we're in the office every single day? Would the show be as good? No, of course not. Now, could we do a good show? Of course, we could. We could work remotely. And hey, Chris, send me the articles. Hold on, let me pull them up on my phone real quick. Michael, did you get some sound cuts for us? Could you text me? I can't see. It would be good. It wouldn't be as good. And then the camaraderie on the show goes down because you're not together. You're not physically together. Okay, well, that's one fairly stupid radio show known as the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, expand that beyond this show. Expand that to every economy on the planet. Every single industry on the planet, almost without exception, is harmed by remote work. I realize there are exceptions, but the industry in general is harmed by remote work. So what does that mean for the world's economy if there's no going back? You know what that means? That means until Joe Biden and Vladimir Zelensky and Vladimir Putin, until they start World War III and we all get EMP'd back into the Stone Age, the world's economy will never, ever run. Wrap your mind around how crazy this is. The world's economy will never run at the same efficiency that it ran before because people don't work together anymore. Tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where I'm wrong, Chris. I'm not wrong. You know why? Because the Oracle is never wrong, Chris. What, Chris? Chris, let me ask you something. I was gone for 4 days. So you had... Let me see. I went Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then let's be honest, it's an evening show here. So you basically had Monday. So that's 5 days. That's a work week. You've had an entire work week to go pre-order the Anti-Communist Manifesto at jessekellybook.com. This book will not only teach you the history behind so much of this communism in America, it will teach you how to fight against it. Did you take any time during that 5 days to pre-order the book, Chris? No, Chris, you're not getting a free sample copy. I've already decided I will hand them out to everybody but you. I'll even give Michael one. I'm going to give the Suits one. I'm going to send them out to people. That way I can go on their shows and say, hey, buy my book. I'm really smart. You, Chris, no books for you. I will actually tell the publisher if they send us. Wait, Chris, do you think they send us a bunch of free books? They have to send us a bunch of free books, right? Because people are going to want, they're going to want my John Hancock. Not to brag, Chris. They're going to want my, another thing. Speaking of which, I was talking about the convention we were at, the Safari Club convention in Nashville. A bunch of people came up to me, talking to me and stuff like that. And a couple people, more than one, said, I saw you yesterday. I saw you earlier. I wasn't sure if I should come up and say anything or whatnot. Hear me out. You are always welcome to come up and say hi. Always. If I'm eating, you're welcome to come up and say hi. Now, remember, I'm eating. Say hi and then get lost. But come up and say hi. If I'm at an event, come up and talk to me. Yes, I know. Listen, I know it's intimidating to speak to a world famous author. What, Chris? I know when if you had the chance to speak to Ernest Hemingway or Solzhenitsyn or me, I know that can get extremely intimidating. But I'm just a normal person like you, except I have exceptional writing talent. What, Chris? I have exceptional writing talent. I have a way with words, if you will. Me and Maria Salazar.
And do you support a no-fly zone in Ukraine?
I support everything that has to do with punishing Vladimir Putin and helping the Ukrainians.
Wouldn't that mean direct conventional warfare with Russia?
I don't know what it will mean, but you know freedom is not free.
So you don't know what a no-fly zone will mean? Do you have to shoot down Russian planes? I mean.
Of course.
So conventional war with Russia.
Listen, thank you.
The good news is when World War III kicks off, these are the people who will be leading the charge. So let's rest easy on that. All right. You hear this doozy?
Just a few days ago was Japanese Day of Remembrance, something for us to certainly reflect on as we learn our history and think about it. The days when, you know, Iwo Jima unfortunately happened and set a record for really what, hate to say, human evil is capable of. And so that's something just to remember.
I'm sorry? Iwo Jima unfortunately happened, and, well, you know what, look, you heard what she said. I will just say this once again. That human being is on a school board. I bet you with very little effort, I could dig into that human being's election record, and the turnout for her last election would be embarrassing. This is Fairfax, Virginia, all right? Fairfax, Virginia. You know what that means? That means as we speak, there is a full-blooded, America-hating communist teaching the next generation of children to despise the United States of America in Fairfax, Virginia, for the simple reason we don't run for school board. We don't get involved. We choose to abandon these institutions. We have left these critical posts up to these absolute monsters, and they are doing what monsters do. They're eating their prey. Their prey being your children. Let us once again remember we will save this country, not from Washington, D.C., legal and local. We will save it from the cities. We will save it from the school boards. All right? All right. Speaking of which, you want to hear what these people are doing to kids in school? You ready for this one? Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and Chris wants me to do an island hopping history thing again. All right, give me 10 minutes and I'll do a brief island hopping history thing. Chris, we have other things we need to deal with here, but I'll do a brief island hopping history thing in the wake of that Iwo Jima thing. But before we get to that, I was pointing out this school board member, in case you didn't remember this person runs children's education in Virginia, but you should know that there's somebody like this who thinks like this in your child's school board. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, not here, Jesse, not in rural Indiana. My town is blood red. Oh, I know your town is blood red, but the five communists in your town all ran for school board and ran and won it while we were all having barbecues. You see, these people educate our children.
Just a few days ago was Japanese Day of Remembrance, something for us to certainly reflect on as we learn our history and think about it. The days when, you know, Iwo Jima unfortunately happened and set a record for really what, I hate to say, human evil is capable of. And so that's something just to remember.
Which brings me to this. Hello, world-famous author. I have a 15-year-old daughter I recently adopted. I have been raising her with her mother since she was 5 years old. Recently, I went downstairs to her room to change the furnace filter. To my surprise, I saw two flags hanging on her wall. One was an LGBTQ pride flag, and the other was, you guessed it, a BLM flag. I asked her where she got the flags. She replied, quote, from one of my teachers. I almost lost it, but I decided not to start a confrontation with her about it. I then talked to her mother about it, and she said our daughter knows how we feel about it and thinks the flags are cool looking. I've considered calling the school, but am worried about repercussions that may embarrass our daughter. I've been conservative all my 56 years on this planet, but for the life of me, do not know what to do. Any advice would be appreciated. P.S. The Jesse Kelly burger is phenomenal. Well, here's the thing. I actually sympathize with this a great deal. I have two sons. My kids go to the same school. They're very close. And if you don't have kids or don't have kids yet or something like that, understand when your kids go to school, they get close with not just other kids, they get close with teachers, and then the parents get close with other parents, then close with the teachers. The longer you're there, the closer everything becomes. And what you don't want to do as a parent is make your child's life difficult in school. That's a hard enough time. So I understand completely the hesitation. I don't want to reach out. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to make my daughter's life harder. I get it. I'm not dogging on you for that. But the reason I bring this up is I get a lot of emails like this. Jesse, my kid's teacher said this. What do I do? Jesse, my kid's principal said this. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Well, what's that old saying? You always do what you've always done. You always get what you've always gotten. For how many years, for how many decades have we on the right just kind of lived and let lived? Brushed it off and let it go. Let me just get through this. Oh, well, it'll pass. We've done that. We've done the turned a blind eye to these people for years now. How's that working out for us? Did the communist at any point in time during those years, did he look at you? Did he look at me? Did he look at us and say, wow, look at that parent. I abused their kid. I pushed my communist values onto their kid, and the parent didn't say a word. And I'll be honest with you, I really respect that. I really respect what they did, and I think I'll stop pushing these values on other people. Has that happened? Chris, refresh my memory. Has that happened at any point in time? No. The communist thrives on us trying to live politely and create this false, polite society. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I don't. Here, I want you to take the word of a man who has lived through the final form of communism. You know, you've heard at least of the name Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He's infamously an author like me. Quit. He's infamously an author who wrote Gulag Archipelago, having spent a lot of time in the gulags, having spent a lot of time around communists. So forget about Jesse Kelly's advice. What did Solzhenitsyn say about these people? What would Solzhenitsyn, as he's sitting, remember in the gulags, they talk about this a lot. He talked about it too. The situation was so horrible, and almost all those people were there unjustly, that nobody remains good. The good people who show up get eaten alive and or die. Or it's just, it's a nightmare. Eventually, he says, you become a worm of a human being just trying to stay alive. That's how things get really, really bad. That's how things are under communism. So this is a human being who's seen it. He's seen the final form. I'm going to read you the quote, and you tell me what Solzhenitsyn would want you to do. His quote is, quote, during my time in the camps, I had got to know the enemies of the human race quite well. They respect the big fist and nothing else. The harder you slug them, the safer you will be. No, I don't want you to go hit your child's teacher. It is time for us to get loud. It is time for us to get meaner. It is time for us to get impolite. We have tried everything else but those things. And all it's done is whet the communists' appetite for us and our children. I will say it again. I've said it 1,000 times. Because you're dealing with religious zealots, all they understand is fear and pain. All they understand is fear and pain. What scared them? What scared them so badly they got a hold of the DOJ to send the FBI after you? What scared them? Was it you going down to the school boards and, well, I want to be polite here. You went down to the school boards and you got loud on behalf of your child. You demanded accountability. Your videos were getting shared on Fox News, getting shared on social media. Loud, angry. It's time to be loud and angry with the communists. The silent majority is worth nothing. Be a loud majority. Go get loud. All of us. All right? Speaking of getting loud, I want to speak to the women for a moment. This really applies to all inexperienced shooters, but that's mostly women. The wife was that way when we first met, and I remember the intimidation she had when she would hold a weapon and the intimidation that still gets in there sometimes when she shoots one. She's a good shot now, but remember this, ladies. The Mantis X system is for you, too. Not just her husband. It's for you, too. You can dry fire practice in your home. Nobody judging you, even though they're not judging you at the range anyway. Nobody watching. No loud bang. Just you getting better, getting comfortable with your weapon and getting better. Go get your Mantis X today, ladies, all right? Speaking to you, MantisX.com, MantisX.com. So speaking of communists and dealing with them, hang on.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.